Hi, welcome to 10,000 Posts. It's the show about how everything is posting. And we're also, you know, we're there to teach you how to become the master of the post. And, you know, I read this little book written by an author called Malcolm Gladwell. Not sure if any of you have heard about him, where, you know, it takes 10,000 hours to become a master at something. So yeah, we're here to clock your 10,000 hours of posting so that you can become a poster's master like all of us. As always, my co-sensei, Phoebe, how's it going in the poster's dojo today?
It's going very well. I've just had my 60-hour badge, and you know, I'm getting there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're not like, you know, we're not quite black belt level yet, but you know, we're getting the colors. It's all good. And we have a guest on the show today. You might know this guest from all the other kind of like podcasts we do in our universe, but also, Mike, the co-host of Human Error, a very fun podcast on the BBC. You should listen to it. It is, of course, comedian, the internet's dad's girlfriend, Olga Koch.
Ahoy.
how many dads are you dating at the moment?
Define dating. Is having a cash pig having a boyfriend?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question.
Yes, it is. It is.
No, I don't think it is.
It's just not a very even relationship. But that's still, like, if you want to call them your boyfriend, they're your boyfriend. I actually go even further. Anyone who I want to call my boyfriend, they're my boyfriend. That's my position.
Oh, that's really good.
On one of the last episodes, I came out as a clown exclusionary radical feminist to say that you can't just call things clowns. Clowns are very specific. I think that, like, boyfriends are similar. Like, there has to be a specific kind of relationship to denote what a boyfriend is. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is like the take that I'm going to get cancelled on.
Yeah. They're whoever I say is my boyfriend.
Fine. All right.
That's the taxonomy.
Look. All right. That's fine. But you know what? I feel like we should take this to like the real grandmaster of posting who made herself known last week. The real grandmaster of posting being Flora Gill. That's right. I am Gill-pilled now. She did what was quite frankly like one of the most amazing tweets I've ever seen. But what was strange was that I don't think she realizes why it's so amazing. So I'm going to read this out now. If you haven't read or seen this tweet before, I would very much say like find a seat and like really make sure you're secure on it. All right, I'm going to read this out now. Flora Gill on the 29th of July, 2021. Someone needs to create porn for children.
Oh, boy, boy, boy.
Hear me out. Young
Must we? Do we have to?
No, you have to, yeah. Young teens are already watching porn, but they're finding hardcore aggressive videos that give a terrible view of sex. They need entry-level porn, a softcore site where everyone asks for consent and no one gets choked, etc. She followed that up by saying, by the way, I didn't mean like children. I meant people who were 13, 14, 15, etc. And then she deleted the tweet, to which she then started complaining that people were sharing screenshots and that was unfair. Yeah, so she says, appropriate of nothing, I really think that if someone quickly deletes a tweet, it shouldn't be screenshotted and shared. Like, just let it die, you know? No one else agree?
Wait, did she say this?
Yeah.
Did she say this?
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, she got really upset because it got screenshot really, really fast. Like, the original tweet was not up there for, like, that long, but it was there for long enough for people to, like, realize what was going to happen and, like, anticipate what she was going to say afterwards. So, yeah, like, before we kind of go into Flora Gill, like, I just kind of, I want to get, like, some initial reactions to this post. I have read it so many times and it doesn't fail to just like really surprise me. And I think my favorite part of this tweet is when she says, hear me out.
That's my favorite opening for any kind of post, because anytime that someone says, look, just hear me out, you know they're about to say the most fucking insane thing you've ever heard in your life. Like, it's like an amazing signifier, sort of posting signifier, that they're about to say something either extremely whacked out or extremely not cool. I mean, personally, if I had spent God knows how many hundreds of thousands of pounds on my child's education and had also ensured that they were part of You know, the kind of sort of the hereditary media class who no matter who they are, will fall back asswards into some kind of very desirable job. Like, it's interesting. Like, I mean, because, like, you know, you look at other countries and you're like, ah, so they have all kinds of sort of embedded entrenched class systems and hereditary wealth, but they don't have this like fucking useless aristocracy just like kind of lying around. We have both of those things. We have a fucking useless aristocracy lying around, and we have a media aristocracy. So
yeah, it's called diversity. You don't like it, there's the door.
Yeah, exactly. And like, and you know, and Flora Gill is from a diverse background. Her dad was a baboon killer, and her mum is a violent racist, and that is diversity. I'd spent 150 grand. If I'd spent 150, I'm plucking a number out of the air. I have no idea how much her school cost. I assume it was a lot.
£1 million. Let's just go with that.
If I'd spent £1 million on my child's education and found out that she, as an adult, did not remember the word teenager, I would be so furious. I'd be like, no.
See, my thinking is that there are lots of rich people, especially rich English people, that like oddly don't actually use terms like teenager. Like, I don't know if you know what I mean, but it's kind of like I've known like a few sort of rich English people during like my teenage, and whenever I used to go to their house, it always like surprised me how their parents still sort of treated them in very sort of infantile ways, including like how they speak to them, how they kind of like use sort of like very babyish names as well.
Actually, that's true.
So it could just be like, this is just how rich people talk.
Yeah, now I think about it, my extremely posh ex's family used to call anyone who wasn't like married and with their own kids, one of the babies.
And yes, yeah, exactly.
There was this whole thing when we went to visit them, and we were told that we were going to be sitting at the baby's table, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? But then it was like literally like kind of like cousins in their mid-30s who just happened not to have their own children. It's like being a doctor. You're a junior family member until you're a consultant, and that's when you're carrying on the line.
That's right. So when you get married, you just get called junior consultants. That's how it should be done. So Olga, before we like explain to listeners like who Flora Gill is and like the kind of context behind this post, what are your like, you know, do you have any initial reactions to her child porn tweet?
My initial reaction is I'm also gonna use this opportunity to plug my line of child casinos and child cigarettes.
That's right. Yeah, we do. Look, boss,
your tot's first blackjack table.
From the same people that bought you Bugsy Malone. Just like
I think I did see like a child's toy. So like my nephew is like 1.5 years old, and I was like looking for a toy to buy him for his birthday. And I think I did see somewhere like a child's poker table.
That's adorable.
Like on Amazon.
Send me the link. I want to buy a child's poker table. And give that's it right. to that's child really in my acquaintance. Cute. That's precious. I'm sorry.
I'll invite you all to my house. I'll invite you all to my house like sometime this year, and we can play on the baby poker table. How does that sound?
Yes, please.
And smoke kids' cigars. I'm down.
That's right. Okay, so for people that who don't know who Flora Gill is, you know, Phoebe sort of mentioned a little bit. So Flora Gill, it was kind of like a relatively unknown figure until fairly recently, but she comes from like aristocratic or like at least kind of elite stock. So she's the daughter of A.A. Gill, and she's the daughter of the Home Secretary Amber Rudd, who oversaw the mass deportation, among others, of the Windrush generation who came to Britain and Europe to rebuild the country after the Second World War. It was this very huge scandal that like Amber Rudd basically was forced to resign over. But then Flora Gill sort of showed up, and the way that she showed up, at least to most people, was because she was posting like these very bizarre and openly horny tweets that her mum was responding to. So I've got a couple here in the notes. I'm just going to read them out. So this was February last year when Flora Gill said, I wonder how many pregnancy tests the average woman has taken. I must have done about 6. That's not a comment on my behavior. I once took a test because I wouldn't accept that both my weight gain and my morning sickness was due to my diet of only burritos and vodka. I had not had sex. To which Amber Rudd responds saying, please be careful. Believe me, nothing ruins your life more than an unplanned pregnancy.
I'm sorry. That's a pretty good own. It's actually a pretty good own.
Yeah.
I know Amber Rudd is a bad person and we shouldn't be participating in her image laundering, and definitely not her image laundering through the really weird and creepy conduit of her daughter's public sex life. But by the same token, that is a really good own. It is. Fair play to you, yeah. Amber.
I've got another one. The guy that ghosted me 10 years ago on my gap year after I lost my virginity to him has just slid into my DMs to tell me I'm, quote, the most accomplished person he's ever slept with. And I think this might be why I became a journalist. Quick, I need the perfect response. To which Amber Rudd says, your mother would like to speak to him. And Flora Gill responds back with 2 cry laugh emojis. Mum, I'm only kidding. I've never had sex. I'm innocent, young, virgin sex writer. Something just reminded me that she did like this other really insane post as well, where she talks about like being in the cowboy position. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Reverse cowgirl style. It was style, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I just found it now. Yeah. At the beginning of the year, I was riding my boyfriend cowgirl style when Spotify Shuffle started playing Old Town Road. Like I was in some awesome porno musical. I didn't think that would be the high point of my fucking year. This was in July 12, 2020. I'm very sure that Amber Rudd did respond to that, but I can't find it in the replies. But yeah,
she's got porn on the mind. This is what I'm hearing. She's constantly innovating when it comes to formats.
But it was Amber Rudd responding to all these horny posts that basically led to Gil and Rudd getting a fortnightly talk radio show on Times Radio, which had just launched in 2020, and it was supposed to be this like revolution.
I think it's also officially part of the Trash Future Universe, that show.
Yeah,
am I correct?
Yeah, okay, cool. It is in some bizarre way, and I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure how. I think it might have been because it turns out that Flora Gill's then boyfriend, perhaps still boyfriend, looks a little bit like Riley.
I think Flora and Amber are like the Wario to Riley and Milo, right?
Yes, yeah, that's it. That's yeah, we're establishing that. They're like the Dark Universe version of Trash Future. Yeah, so like she's kind of had this pedigree of doing these really weird, horny posts for like a while. And I think that like as more people kind of entertained her and her mum doing this sort of like weird sex pantomime, that like she kind of kept on upping the ante like more and more, while also sort of parading as like this sex features writer, that, you know, a position that again she only kind of really got because of her like proximity to the British aristocratic class. So, and I think this is sort of what leads us to understand why she would post something like this and not like immediately see the problems, not least because when you start any sentence with children and porn, like you should really just like wipe that out, just go for a walk, don't ever like continue that line of thought.
I think what I find quite funny about this is the this kind of approach to sex education is actually like a perfectly normal and sort of liberal chattering class talking point that that children have access to too much violent and extreme pornography, and there should be some kind of corrective to that. However, having any kind of platform and imagining that a good way of phrasing this is, how about porn for children? It's like describing sex education as, you know what, we should be teaching kids how to fuck. That's the analogy here. Like it's a really, really not, like it's a really regular sort of point of concern and talking point amongst a certain kind of person. She's just phrased it so extraordinarily.
I
absolutely love the follow-up of, look, it's no fair to screenshot, and it's like, yes it is. Yes, it is. You can't, like, this is like, and again, this is like, you know, when people talk about the aristocracy, it's like, what's the point of having the aristocracy? It's like, oh, actually, they engage in a lot of important work in the Commonwealth. So they show up at the sort of the local sporting events in Canada, and that's a real job, and they should be, you know, living in palaces while the country starves. But this is the same sort of thing. This is what the media aristocracy have as their role. Their role is to be public figures, and it's a heavy burden. It's a heavy burden to have on Flora. But unfortunately, there are no rules here, and she can't call no fair because she's also pushing 30. And come on, mate.
Yeah, and as someone who recently turned 30, like, all I can say is, after that age, everything's going to get screenshot. So
my question is, can we follow the logic of a perfect scenario for Flora Gill? As in, like, everybody's, like, super on board with the child porn. Brazzers reaches out. They're like, we want a collab. Let's do this.
Baby Brazzers.
Disney Channel's involved.
Like Muppets. Yeah, it's like Muppet Babies, but it's like a special.
So what you're saying is this is like a partnership between Disney Plus and Brazzers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she, like, worked out how to do it, because, like, even in the initial tweet, like, her kind of thinking behind it is like, oh, this is softcore porn where everybody asks for consent and
also,
no one gets choked.
Softcore porn just exists. I'm sorry.
Right.
I know that's not the point of the tweet, but what she's talking about literally exists.
Well, here, because, like, here's sort of what I was sort of thinking about, which
someone's
was...
Someone's not spent a time in, like, an airport travel lodge.
Even if, like, you're worried about children, for example, like, even if you're worried about, like, young teenagers, like...
Think of the children.
The softcore porn kind of already exists in, like, most Netflix teen shows. You know, they, you know, a lot of, like, the new Netflix teen shows not only have, like, an abundance of sex scenes, but, like, they're a lot more kind of intricate and detailed and, like, largely very progressive in the sense of, like, how they depict, like, LGBTQ people, like,
yeah,
having
but
sex.
Most of them are supernatural, and that's setting really, really odd expectations for teenagers.
That's right. It's kind of like the Twilight situation where it's like, yeah,
where
you
the
might.
Fuck are your goat legs? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
You might ship Edward and Bella, but when you realize that Edward is like over, like, hundreds of years old, that's a little bit problematic, sir. So does she also mean that, oh yeah, they're appropriately age gapped as well, and like that brings along its own problems. But I think, like, ultimately, you know, there's something to be said about, like, she's like the way that this tweet was interpreted, the kind of power of this tweet is in relation to stuff that I don't think Flora Gill really truly understands, because it is quite an, like, amazing post, because it's sort of got so many different people really mad for, like, reasons that were much more related to a broader moral panic around sex and porn on the internet. You know, and this kind of, like, notion, you know, I'm seeing, like, a lot of these conversations about, like, you know, should children be taught sex education at all? Like, you know, with the abundance of, like, OnlyFans accounts and, like, accessible porn through, you know, popular TV shows and everything. You know, is this kind of creating, like, the pornification of society and therefore this kind of moral degeneracy? And, like, there were so many kind of, like, right-wing accounts that were using Flora Gill's tweet as, like, an example of the socialist Nambler left. As this, like, example of, like, the left's desire to kind of make the world more degenerate and, you know, sexually immoral, and, like, all these really bizarre claims that were coming out of someone who, like, ostensibly is still very much a Tory. I wasn't really sure how to kind of take it, except for, like, this is, like, I think what Flora's tweet has done is really illustrated, like, this broader moral panic that's sort of been kind of hampering online for a while. And she's kind of caused it to erupt in this weird way that even, like, that she doesn't really quite understand.
Mm. I think she genuinely thinks that she's come up with a really good point. I think that she's, like, genuinely, like, I've fixed social ills. And everyone knows that her, like, her duty to the people and her duty as a member of the aristocracy is to share her thoughts for fixing all social ills. She was she did have a big plan for homelessness, but that's been shelved.
What?
Big plan for what?
For homelessness.
Oh God.
I feel she didn't want me to tell anyone about this, but okay, she had this like really good idea. She's like actually looking for investors at the moment. It's porn for homeless people. And I know that you I know that you think that would just be like regular porn, but it's special and it's a new thing that Flora invented.
That's right.
Oh, honestly, if Flora Gill is so concerned with kids seeing and learning about really perverted sexual stuff, she should take a page of her own book and stop tweeting about gross stuff like sex out of wedlock and cowgirl style.
Well, I think, you know, actually, I kind of think that that's the best form of sex education. It's also like, you know, I feel like Netflix has kind of really made it to be like, you know, this kind of fun and dangerous thing. Or like, you know, this fun and kind of intimate thing. But when they realize that, oh, actually, like, sex is had by a lot of nerds and they get really, really into it, like, maybe they'll kind of think, oh, this kind of sucks. I'm going to go do chemistry instead.
Do you remember that thing that I sent you at like 2 o'clock in the morning last year? Because it was like really early on in lockdown, or like it felt like early on in lockdown. I think it was probably about 2 months in. And I sent you that picture of James Carville and I put cowgirl style across the top of it and you were like, what the fuck is that?
I don't remember it. I do not remember that at all. Maybe because of the time, maybe because time is this fake. Well, I can imagine you definitely sending that to me at like a ridiculous hour. Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think it's just like now. You know, rather than like having the moral panics around, you know, so much porn being available, just kind of like emphasize that the people who like post about sex are largely weird and lame, and like, you know, you don't want to be like them. You're Gen Z. You're supposed to be cool. So anyway, yeah, that's my position.
Okay, can you not drag me as a guest on your own fucking podcast? Literally, choose any other guest. What the fuck is this?
Yeah, no, Olga, do you think that your post should be used in British sex education classes?
Yeah, to put people off sex, for sure.
That's what sex education should be for. That's what sex education was like at my school. I remember we did sex education as part of PSHE. Olga, social health?
Pussies, schlongs.
And head education.
Yeah, it's kind of like social. It's kind of like social studies in America.
Pussy, schlong, and honkers education.
Yeah,
social studies. Anyway, we had sex education as part of that, and our head of year did this like, you know, did the condom demonstration on like a boiling tube or something, and she could not get the condom on this boiling tube. And so eventually she just gave up and snapped. None of you should be thinking about sex. You should be thinking about your careers, which is just like the horrible kind of girl boss petri dish I went to school in, just distilled in one sentence.
Yeah, you shouldn't be thinking about sex education. You should be thinking about your startups.
Genuinely, every time I struggle a little too long with putting a condom on a guy's dick, I just stand up and buy some stocks.
and the dick gets harder, which makes it easier to put the condom on, right? Because guys love it. Guys love it when you buy stocks. Speaking of guys, should we talk about a certain kind of guy? Do you see that segue? I think that was a pretty smooth segue.
I know, that was good. That was good. I don't know, I like that one.
I'm going to pat myself on the back for that. Let's talk about some guys. Let's talk about some guys because Olga has a lot of guys. She has a lot of a certain kind of guy, at least in what I see on online. We're talking about reply guys. We are talking about the guys who respond to all your posts, especially if you're a woman. And they're kind of like your ride and dies. You know, there are different kinds of reply guys. Some of them are a little bit inappropriate, but some of them are just kind of like, they just want to remind you that they'll be there for the good times and the bad times. So I guess like as a starting point, Olga, as someone with a lot of reply guys, can you tell us some reply guy stories? Like, what are your favorite, like, who have your favorite reply guys been in your time online and posting on, like, you know, doing your advice stuff on Instagram? What are your, like, what have been, like, the weirdest or most fun replies you've got?
Okay, so I think my reply guy theory rests on two bits of academia, and by that I mean two tweets that other people tweeted. One tweet was by a user called Emma Loves Lawn. I'm not sure. Emma Loves Elon, which already is a super cool person, I think.
Yeah.
But her tweet isn't available anymore, but I do know that it was hers. And the tweet was like, every time that someone responds to your selfie by pointing out something out, like, in the background, they, like, want to neg you and, like, make it look like they don't give a shit, but it's like, brother, you replied. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
which I think is like a huge technique, and one of my favorites is I posted a picture in my kitchen, and in like one of the corners there was a tea towel, and then a guy went in on how many tea towels I had, and the fact that I had too many, which I think is just like peak reply guy behavior.
Yeah.
And the second tweet is from your favorite and mine, Ice-T, I believe,
mm-hmm.
who tweeted, like, why is it that every time you post something on Twitter, someone responds with a joke that is less funny?
He's right to say it. He is right to say
and
it.
And I think both of those titans of Twitter really describe my experience with reply guys. So if you'd like, I can read you out some replies
yes.
that I've gotten.
Yes, absolutely. Read me out some replies. Read us out some replies.
Okay, so there is this one when, again, as I mentioned, I have two tea towels in the side of a photo, which is definitely not the point of the photo. And a guy replies with, how many dish towels is too many? The answer is two, by the way. There's two tea towels in the picture. It's everything to me. It's giving me absolutely everything I need. It's like, I will make her feel like shit, but there's nothing to make her feel like shit over. I will find a way.
Yeah. We'll talk about this in a bit, but it's very much like, I think a lot of this comes out of just like the pickup artist, like, negging stuff. And it's sort of just been like amplified online. So like, whereas the pickup artist neg was very much like situated in the club, where like you would go up to a woman and be like, huh, your hair sucks, or something like, I was never good at flirting. I was never good at pickup. So,
I was going to say, that's not negging. That's just, that's just rude.
Your eyeshadow makes you look like a bird. I don't know what it is, but basically, like, you know, you would kind of like neg a woman who like spent so much time making herself look good for men that she would be immediately disorientated by this man who was brave enough to tell her that she wasn't all that, and then she would immediately fall for him. And then where it's sort of like amplified on the internet, you know, where it's not like this club situation, you end up having guys who will try to like disorientate you in other ways for your attention. So in this case, it's like, you know, if you have more than one tea towel, you have too many tea towels.
And it's like, I mean, I think the end game is King choke me with those tea towels. But I think with the tea towel guy, like negging, I think it's a pretty universal experience on being a woman on the internet, for being a woman on the internet. I would say that my specific experience, and again, I'm not saying that other people don't have this happen to them. I definitely think they do. But I think like what I specialize in when it comes to reply guys is middle-aged men who don't know how the internet works.
Right.
So it's stuff like, I posted a picture of myself having completed some filming, and then a man will respond, yes, more chances to wank over the sexy at rock and roll guy. I can't wait.
Oh my God. Oh my God. What?
So there's this like, he doesn't know that it will get to me. The fact that he's responding to the tweet and tagging me in the tweet that he's responding in. There's this sort of like a distance when it comes to the usage of the internet. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right. So this guy thinks it's like a Facebook status, but like a Facebook status from like 2009.
Yeah, that I will never see this, or the fact that I'm not a real person. There's definitely, or maybe that no one else will see it apart from him. There's definitely some sort of, like, there's a lacking of understanding of how the internet works, which I adore.
Yeah. What are like the general kind of like, do you have like, because you must receive like a lot of replies on all your posts because of like, you know, your like how kind of public facing you are. Do you like notice any general patterns in terms of what people what reply guys say to you? Like, is it like, because I can imagine that these reply guys are probably not as kind of like extremely perverted as the guy that you read out, but at the same time, they kind of like cross the boundaries of appropriateness in ways that maybe they don't realize, or like maybe they kind of think is like fairly normal. And I think this is kind of where, when we talk about reply guys, what we're really talking about is the notion of familiarity and over familiarity that I imagine every creator or content creator of some form ends up having to reckon with at some point.
No, I don't think, I mean, it's not over familiarity as such, because even people who are super familiar with me do not say shit like that. It's like, it's kind of beyond over familiarity. It's like,
right, yeah,
here is the contents of my journal, which I am for whatever reason insisting that you read. Like, that's the level of over familiarity that you've got to.
I think that the ones that I specifically will run into is all various facets of what it is like to be a middle-aged man. So like, I can definitely spot one going through a divorce, one going through hair loss. Like, you can sense it. And so one of my recent favorite ones, I'll read you a couple of tweets from him. The over-familiarity of this person, and the fact is, a lot of the time they'll take things at face value and sort of like don't not realize that what I'm doing is joking when they know that I'm a comedian. So I'm not really sure what's happening there, but I tweeted, "The cutest thing about me is that I'm definitely not depressed." He responded, "Careful in what you're saying. Trolls will take that as a challenge. Love you."
What does that mean?
I don't know. And then I tweeted another thing. I said, "I spend so much time hating my body that it never occurs to me that someone wouldn't fuck me because of my personality."
That's a really good post. Well done.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. That means a lot to me. To have one of the hosts of 10K posts say that they like my, it's everything. I'm sorry. And he responds with, I would, because it's not the size of your knickers, but your heart that makes the person. Love you. I don't know what the expectations there is. It's just uneasy is how I feel. It's not funny. It's not gross. It's just sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't we like, so I can't like really chart when the reply guy became a thing. There are like various kind of like competing essays that suggest that like they've always been a thing. I guess they kind of always have. But when it kind of was coined as a social media term was probably around about 2016. So this is how Mashable, that fun website, which I'm not sure exists anymore, to describe the reply guy. In general, reply guys tend to have a few followers. Their responses are overly familiar, as if they know the person they're targeting, but they usually don't. They also tend to reply only to women. The most prolific reply guys fill the role for dozens of women trying to tweet in peace. The Mashable article argues that the reply guys are not homogenous, and they kind of really reach this sort of high point with like the whole not all men thing. So after when the Me Too stuff happened, there were lots of men who like kind of slid into every woman's DMs or slid into every woman's like comment section on Twitter being like, you know, you're being stereotypical, not all men, etc. And then it kind of like extends to like horny responses. Some of the reply guys don't even reply. They just fave every post you do. So I'm not sure whether that classifies as a reply guy, but it still has the same impulse of being someone who's like always kind of like monitoring your tweets and always reminding you of their existence, but they'll always be there. And that their online identity is basically in relation to the person they're replying to. You know, so you can't really be a reply guy unless like you're replying to someone on a very consistent level. But the reasons for their replies may be because they're trying to get attention. It may be because they're trying to disorientate you, but sometimes they're just trying to get you to notice them. So even if you like, when I was speaking to a couple of people who had reply guys, for them it was like, oh, when I blocked the reply guy, it made things worse because ultimately I gave them notice that I recognized their existence. And then at the same time, if you reply to them to try be nice to them as a way to kind of like maybe change that kind of relationship of not over familiarity, but like parasocial familiarity, for lack of a better term, it makes things worse because then you sort of like legitimize the relationship. And this is kind of where I think the interesting element to the reply guy is. It's kind of, you know, it's this idea that they have a certain notion of what an online relationship is, but it's all kind of tied to this one person. And this one person can't really do anything to kind of change that. It's not like an offline relationship, like offline relationship or friendship where, you know, you have like certain positions and those positions are informed by your like material conditions and, you know, your surroundings. Like the online notion of the relationship is one that is very kind of unbalanced. And for the person who's like being replied to, you know, it can actually be more harmful to notice them than to kind of ignore them. But by ignoring them, you sort of like give them more of a reason to keep posting insane things at you. Which is what I feel like a lot of the reply guys that Olga, you read out seem to be doing, like posting these very bizarre and like overtly sexual responses are designed to get you to talk about them.
I think, and the thing is, they've achieved what they wanted to, because here I am on this podcast talking about them. But it feels like what you're describing is like, it's the end goal is always the same, but the content is dynamic. So basically, at first, I think it's a tweeting about you as if you're not a real person. So like, oh, I can't wait to wank over at Rock and Rolga in response to me. So it's not even addressing to you. It's just like, oh, I'm going to jerk off to the concept of Olga.
Right.
Then the next level is like topping a joke, as in like, I see what you did there. We're pally. Here's another sort of pitch into this joke. Then it goes into, I know that you're joking, but like, let me take you aside for a second. And it's like, I see sadness behind those eyes. You can tell me. I know you're telling the jokes to everyone else, but I see the sadness and I'm here to talk, which is like the intimacy thing. And then I will say that currently we are in an age that reply guys are so omnipresent, I would say, that we are currently in the rage of the age of the meta reply guy, where the by far the most frequent thing I receive specifically in my DMs is a picture of myself or a post that I post sent back to me with a caption, I want to see what the reply guys will do with this one. And that is my favorite thing. I love it. Oh god. The amount of, like, I will post a thirst trap on Instagram. The amount of responses of like, oh, I don't envy your DMs right now is my favorite thing in the entire world.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is also, and we'll get, like, there's a piece by 10K Post LA correspondent Miles Klee wrote a while ago about, like, the crisis of reply guys. But I think this is, like, a good example of, again, like, the crisis of reply guys where, like, the notion of the reply guy has such a kind of bad reputation, but at the same time, there's like the impulse of many men online to like reply to stuff means that they kind of have to go meta as a way of like, separating themselves. And I think that there's this like big competition right now to kind of like, well, not big competition, but there's this kind of like holy culture war going on at the moment to reclaim the nobility of the reply guy. I can imagine that like, there's a reply guy that simply wanted to kind of be very like, you know, nice and respectful and caring and just show their like, you know, adoration and appreciation of people that they admired on the internet. And like that good name, that noble profession of the reply guy has been corrupted by people who are bastardizing the name. And then they're instead using the notion of the reply guy to harass and to kind of bully and to, you know, be really creepy and weird. You know, so now like, you know, the original reply guys, you know, they have no idea what to do because now they've been lumped in with all these like weird guys who keep talking about coming on tea towels.
Fuck. Okay, Phoebe and Hussein, do you have reply guys?
Phoebe, do you have reply guys? Yeah. Did you ever have reply guys?
I have them now, and I had them before. I used to have many, many more before because I was a lot less in my previous posting incarnation, because I was much less careful about what I put of myself and my life online, and I stopped because I used to take long daily walks, and if I saw like a nice tree or a nice bug or something, I'd like post a picture of the nice tree or the nice bug. And then I stopped doing that when one of my reply guys added me to said, you've changed your walking route, how come? And I was like, Oh my god. No. Oh boy. All right. No, I'm going to stop posting pictures of the nice tree because honestly, I have absolutely no idea.
Oh no.
What kind of effort you're making.
It's another case of like people like Reply Guys doing like open source investigations. doing Bellingcat stuff, but on ordinary people going for normal walks.
And it's kind of I tell this story quite a lot because I think it's quite instructive in terms of I think you it's really easy to, and this is like real kind of, I know how like kind of, all right, posting grandma has logged on to tell you to be careful about what you post. But I think it is so easy to think of a post as a journal, and a journal which only a kind of privileged and kind of selected group of people can see. And then when something like that happens, it's definitely a bit of a reality check. And the thing was, is this guy, I truly don't believe he meant anything by it. I don't think he was trying to frighten me. I don't think he was trying to make me feel kind of unsafe or monitored. He genuinely thought this was a kind of interesting way of attracting my attention. I think now I find with managing my Reply Guys, it's not that it's tiring exactly, but it does feel like I have a kind of sort of management portfolio that I have to kind of keep an eye on, because I don't want to be rude to anyone, There's nothing in and of itself. I think there is a tendency, particularly amongst women online, and I do understand it, but I think there is a tendency to understand any kind of communication with you as hostile. And I think that increases increases along with factors like racism, like sexuality, I know that trans women online are like very, very, very alert for hostility and sometimes read hostility where it's certainly not intended. And it's completely understandable that you would be in that position. I think a lot of women have decided that like any person responding to a public post in any way is being a Reply Guy. And I do understand that kind of like heightened kind of ultra sort of like ultra sensitive response. But like, particularly if you've like actively kind of solicited replies, you can't really start freaking out about your Reply Guys. Particularly like if you've like actively asked a question and someone answers it. But it does feel like a management thing, because my position is that there's a real distinction between a Reply Guy who I think is a benevolent beast, actually. Like they're like nice cows. They stand in their field, they're waiting for you to post so they can either slam on that like button or kind of respond to it sort of, and they don't want to be horny posting, so they say stuff like, oh, I like that book, what did you think of it? It's like, that's a picture of my butt, sir. Don't try and pretend like you can't see my butt. It's right there. Yeah, they sort of say stuff like, you know, oh, I'm really interested in this, what do you think of it? And it's like, okay, this is fine, this is nice. And then some of them do that, and then they get overexcited and overconfident if you reply and engage with them. And then they have to be put on what I call the Reply Guy diet. So like, you know when, like, you know when you're like, your cat has been like eating in too many different houses, and now it's like, it used to be like a kind of live bouncy cat, and now it's like a huge chunky cat. And so you have to put it on like kind of, you have to start like weighing its dried food out for it, because otherwise it's gonna develop some issues.
Yeah, you've got to get it on you've got to put the cat on keto. You've got to put the cat on the hot girl diet, right?
And this isn't fat shaming, and this is not, you know, this is not institutionalized fat phobia. I just made that very clear, because you can't have that with a cat. I'm sorry. With a cat, there is no such thing as body positivity. There are big fat cats and there are skinny cats. Those are the two options.
I was going to say, so the OG reply guys are like the kind of old Italian men who like stand around construction sites all day.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. Watch, oh, yeah, yeah. And they're kind of like just commenting on like how they like lay down cement and like how they kind of put bricks together and stuff.
Like, and it's the same instinct that overtakes me whenever I'm obliged to do anything practical of any degree, and I develop the conviction that not only is this something that I could do, but this is something which I should be doing. I should be doing this apart from, and not what I am doing with my life. And like, and I am drawn to anyone doing anything practical, like a middle-aged man to one of Olga's posts about her pussy. Like, that's how much I know they're there. I've got alerts set up, and I always form the extremely probably incorrect impression they are interested in what I think about, you know, what they're up to. So when I had the guy fixing the fence, I sort of stood next to him and was just like, yeah, so you got the got the floor brackets there. Yeah, it's a great way of doing it. I would have done myself. This poor guy is just like, you can't do this yourself. That's why I'm here.
I'd have used a slightly bigger nail, but you know.
Yeah. So I think of it as like an ecosystem. So the reply guys get, and reply girls as well. I want to do a separate episode about reply girls, because I think they are a different category and they exist. But the reply guys have to go on a diet, and it feels very brutal, the reply guy diet, because what it involves is it basically involves not engaging with them at all. So if they are rude, if they are over familiar, if they say weird shit to you, if they insult you, if they start lecturing you in a weird way, I did a post about how I've got really good at like catching clothes moths in my bare hands. Someone like asked me to say, by the time you've actually got moss, it's too late. You need to get them when they're eggs. And I'm like, I know that. It was just a joke. It was quite a long, and I couldn't work. And for a minute, I couldn't work out what it was a reply to. I was like, this is a weird thing to say. But then I worked out that it was a reply to a kind of days old post about how I can now catch a clothes moth between my hands. And so what you have to do is you don't even do the pity fave, because unfortunately, a lot of reply guys are quite awkward, and they understand a pity favors encouragement. So you've got to just leave the reply just like dangling foolishly, and then you can start feeding them like the tinned food that they want again when they have proved that they can jump easily off the fence without their hips going backwards.
Yeah, you're just like, you know, you're just putting like, Foucault into action, right?
Yeah.
You're doing praxis.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't know what you think about this, Olga, but I think it's all part of a kind of ecosystem. And like, the thing is that we as posters and as hot girls online think that we're the apex predator, but we're not the apex predator. The apex predator is like someone who has like a kind of outbuilding out the back of their house, and they make like artisan tables with it. We are their reply guys. We are the reply guys the mechanics, the people who can put up shelves, like tree surgeons. I am such a tree surgeon reply guy. So we think we're the apex predator, but actually we're just part of the great cycle of posting life.
Fuck. I mean, I have a tear running down my face right now. My number of followers and my reply guys are nothing in front of a lumberjack without a Twitter account. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's like the most. Yeah. That's the most powerful. That's the most powerful.
That's
kind
the hottest
of guy.
And most powerful thing you can be. Hottest possible thing is just not to post. Like you will never ever hear me arguing anything else.
That's right. Yeah. Like, you know, we're always saying that if you want to become like super attractive, just like delete all your accounts.
I'm always saying that I think that kids are always introduced to really fucked up posting, and we need to come up with posting for kids.
That's right. posting for kids where every interaction is consensual and there's no choking.
And this is why we got TikTok, by the way. That's how we got TikTok.
So I know that we haven't got like too much time left, but I wanted to talk about an article that friend of the show, Miles Klee, wrote for Mel Magazine not that long ago about reply guys and his theory about reply guys and his idea where the article is called "There Are No Replies for Reply Guys to Try." Miles basically argues that there are simply too many posts online and too many replies to posts and too many quote tweets of posts. So in this sense, everyone has sort of become a reply guy. And therefore, for the actual committed reply guys, the OG ones, they have to find more and more innovative and actually more inappropriate replies and responses. So of course, this happens in the context of overfamiliarity. But what Miles basically argues is that the reason why we see so many more unhinged responses, including like overtly sexual responses, just really like inappropriate comments, comments about like knowing your exact geolocation, comes from this place where reply guys are really struggling to differentiate themselves from every other post out there, because so much of like platform communication, particularly on Twitter, but I guess on like other platforms as well, incentivizes us to reply to absolutely everything to keep feeding the content machine. So whereas someone who might be a reply guy back in 2015 is now like just a normal poster and just doing like the amount of posts that like maybe a semi-normal person does, the reply guy has to kind of take it a few steps further. So the weird and kind of like inappropriate behavior of reply guys comes out of this broader like social media ecosystem, which is incentivizing everyone to reply to everything. And I wanted to like throw that out as a theory to you guys to like, you know, I wonder like whether this is the reason why, especially like if you are someone who does like content creation or someone who makes stuff for the internet, you know, we see reply guys who are not only over familiar, but they also kind of like have this sense of entitlement as well. Like they have a sense of entitlement to like, you know, your attention, your emotions, your labor, like also like your work, the amount of kind of replies that I've got to stuff that like I've made, which is just kind of commenting on like my lack of technical ability is kind of like astounding. But I imagine for like reply guys, especially to like female content creators, or like non-cis male content creators, that like intensity of response is like a lot higher and also like a lot more personal.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, like, remember when the reply guys like knew their place?
No, they've never known their place.
Well, I think, is it my understanding that like there's this conflation of the fact that like we are forced to develop a take on anything that happens in the world immediately and a very precise and very impassioned take, and that is somehow conflated with reply guyism?
I think so, yeah. I mean, like one thing I was thinking about a bit is like, you know, there's like reply guys who are like football, like on football Twitter. I guess like me and Tom Victor sort of talked about it a while ago. But those guys, like,
when I'm a hot girl on the internet. What the fuck are you asking me about football for?
No. But like, so when these guys aren't talking about football, they're basically like, they have this reputation of basically like telling any woman who has had anything happen to them that like their lived experiences just never happened. So you have like, you know, they'll kind of talk about, they'll do a tweet, something along the lines of, you know, so one that I know quite well, a woman who had like a young son, went to a shopping center and like they were looking for clothes. And the boy was like looking at like a t-shirt that was pink, And had like a Disney princess on it or something. And one of like a guy in the shop was like, oh, you know, you shouldn't buy that because that's like, that's not for boys, it's for girls. And the little boy goes like, you know, it's for boys and girls, something like that, right? So she tweets about it, and then she has like a bunch of like replies from kind of people with largely with like football teams in their like bio, people who would be classified as football Twitter, basically accusing her of lying. And this has happened like to a lot of women for like very like sort of innocuous reasons, whether they kind of just like posting about an anecdote or like an opinion that they don't agree with. They'll basically say that, oh, it didn't happen. There's that account called like Didn't Happen of the Year where loads of like women's tweets get sent to it, whereas the accusation is that, you know, you're lying. But these are also like a form of like reply guy, right? They're a form of like people who are just kind of like pouncing on any kind of tweet that just makes them kind of, yeah, not even like makes them feel uncomfortable, but just like, I don't really know how to describe it, but it's kind of like, it is like a form of harassment and bullying.
I think it definitely is a kind of harassment. I think that it's so pathetic that I don't think it quite classes as bullying. Because
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
because like,
well, they try to invite pylons.
Yeah, that's true. But like, if like a kind of West Ham ultra fan, and apologies if any of the listeners are West Ham fans, I really think you should consider altering that. look, I'm sorry. I just call it like I see it. Yeah, I mean, West Ham fan tells you that, like, you tell a kind of like, stupid anecdote from your life, and they're like, oh, well, I don't believe that happened, and I'm going to attempt to get a bunch of other people also West Ham fans. Like, not necessarily, like, literally, but spiritually. Spiritually, they are all West Ham fans. To say that it never happened. When it comes to all of the wide range of possibilities for harassment and for making women's lives, particularly women's lives online, just so unpleasant and difficult. I think it feels like quite a sort of smooth-edged instrument, like it never happens. Like, are you 9 years old? Okay, yeah, okay, it never happened. I don't care. Whatever, gives a shit.
But also, yeah. This idea is like, why are you owed accuracy online? This, it just feels like, yeah, a complaint about something that isn't even like within the contract of Twitter. It's the same as responding to every tweet and being like, this actually isn't an iambic pentameter. Okay.
Yeah, I am always posting that on like to InstaPoets.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It is a kind of nerdy pedantry, but it's kind of like dressed up as kind of like powerful bullying, but it's actually just like, all right, so what? Okay, yeah, I made it up. And what? What
it's,
are you
yeah,
going to do?
Very,
what are you going to do? You're going to call the post police? Like, fuck off.
It's very, it's very kind of like old school forum behavior. Or like translated onto Twitter, and also with like an audience of people, or like or among kind of like a certain user base that isn't kind of presented or doesn't kind of present aesthetically as being like forum nerds, right?
If you're concerned with accuracy, wait until you find out how small my pussy actually is.
It's like, yeah, it's like the kind of provisional wing of like the fact checkers. They're just like, you know what, we're actually taking disinformation very seriously online, but we're the foot soldiers, we're out there on the streets, and we are pulling up women on their bullshit. It's like, yeah, it's cute because it's so pathetic, and it does feel like it is a kind of a sort of fact checking kind of anti disinformation tendency. Because if you actually said to one of these lads, like, well, what do you care? Like, and that their only possible response is, I don't think she should be getting numbers off a not true story, or something which didn't happen. But like, what do you care? Numbers aren't anything. They're not money. They don't lead to book deals anymore. It's not anything.
But this is the thing, for like a certain, for like quite a large, like number of Twitter users who aren't kind of involved in like the media ecosystem, or at least kind of are adjacent to it, numbers like to them do mean a lot, right? So for them, like, you know, even though these numbers have no material value, it has no real effect on like their, you know, their kind of like offline material lives. Seeing someone that they don't like, or seeing someone that, you know, is oppositional to them getting numbers is like something that really incenses them. And I think at this, and I think this really gets to the heart of a certain kind of reply guy, which is one that like no longer, and maybe this is kind of where what Miles was like sort of getting at, which was that as the internet kind of gets filled up with replies and responses and like responses to responses, it's not the notion of the reply that really matters anymore. It's the engagement that you get from that. So you end up having these reply guys that don't really, you know, their positionality is still one where they are in relation to the original poster. But for them, the incentive is not to get noticed by the poster in like any kind of endearing or like adoring way, but it's to kind of like get their own numbers off the back of this person, which is why we end up in the situation where you have these reply guys who are very inappropriate, or who are kind of like harassing people, or who are like kind of purposefully and like pantomimishly vicious, because they know that sort of like gets the numbers that they want in this type of place where like numbers really does matter to them, and numbers does provide at least like an online currency for them in a way that like people who are much more experienced with like social media platforms, or who have like experience posting as part of their career, sort of appreciates more. Or like, yeah, at least understands that. The consequences of a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. It's just, it's quite funny when you get this of like someone who's got like a picture of themselves and their kids in their profile picture. It's like, oh, what you're jealous of the numbers? Go take your child to the park. What are you doing?
Yeah,
and when you're at the park, ask yourself, why did you change your walking route?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think we're like almost out of time. So like before we kind of close out the show, like do we have any final thoughts on like reply guys and what we should do with them?
Never stop replying to me, because I derive my self-confidence directly from the amount of men who misunderstand my tweets online.
Yes. Don't be like too much. Just, I don't know, like, you know, be a little restrained, I think. Yeah, I just kind of think, but look, if you're a reply guy, own it. But just like, as we always say at the end of show, or as Phoebe, as you always say at the end, it's like, don't be creepy. Like, you can be a reply guy without being creepy. Mm. You know, you can be a nice reply guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like, they're nice, they're loyal, they're always there for you. They're there for a kind of self-esteem boost. They don't really ask for anything in return. But just... Just don't be weird, man. Yeah.
Would you be weird to your dog? That's basically what I would like say. Treat the person you're applying to as if they were a pet dog.
So that's a very good instruction, like, for kind of British people anyway, because the way that you get British people to care about anything is just to get them to imagine it happening to a dog.
That's right. Yeah, that's what we're going to say.
But what happens if you walk in on your son fact-checking a woman online?
Oh, that's a good point.
Erase the tweet and replace it with "you dropped this, queen."
No, you stop from posting, and you're like, "Son, we need to talk about porn, and in specific, porn that's designed for children." And on that note, before we get really cancelled, we should probably end the show. So, Olga, thank you so much for coming on and spending some time with us, talking about all your reply guys.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been illuminating.
We'd love to have you on at some point soon. But until then, how can people like check out your work or like the stuff that you're doing? Besides Human Error, of course, which I'm sure everyone is listening to.
BBC
Sounds.
You better
be. Yeah, BBC Sounds every Wednesday for the next few months.
You can find me at Rock and Roll on Twitter, at Colga300 on Instagram. I'd give you my email, but I don't want to.
because you're Gen Z, so like, you know, who emails anymore? follow Olga on Twitter and Instagram, and also check out her other shows on BBC Sounds as well. We will link that all in the show notes.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you very, very much.
It's all great stuff. Okay, Computer, great stuff. Phoebe, if people want to like follow you and reply to your posts, how can they do so? Or do you not, or would you rather that just didn't happen?
If you would like to follow me and reply to my posts, my Twitter account is still locked, but you can request it. I will get round at some point to going through my follow requests. And so you can follow me at PRHRoy, or you can follow me and Milo's Seinfeld podcast and also listen to that at Masters of Pod.
Great stuff. And if you want to follow me, I'm at HGazvani on Twitter. I don't really use Instagram that much, but I guess you can follow me there as well if you want. Listen to Human Error on BBC Sounds. That's basically the main thing. And yeah, like, you know, I don't post any geolocation data. But even if I did, you would not travel far enough to come see me. And then finally, as always, this show is produced by Devon. You can follow them at Devon_on_earth on Twitter. And follow their podcast, Kill James Bond, that also features Alice from Trash Future and Abby Thorne, aka Philosophy Tube. It's really funny. Like, it's a really great show. I really, really enjoy it. You should listen to it. It's a lot of fun. Listen to all the shows in the TF universe and all the extended stuff, including all of Olga's shows on BBC Sounds.
And Flora Gill and Amber Gill.
Yeah. Ultimately, if there's any takeaway you get from this, listen to Flora Gill and Amber Rudd's Times Radio show. That's it. That's all we're asking you to do. And until next time, we will catch you later. So have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Woo!
Bye.